We're here tonight to ask for God's help and blessing as we begin anew this semester. With our songs and with our prayers, we'll be led along these thoughts, trusting God to guide us in our time of worship together. While we are here, a few minutes after 7 p.m., on the Great Lawn, the Miller Tower clock, which has not moved for 336 hours, begins again as a symbol that we start afresh. We start afresh because of God's grace, because of his providence, because of the hard work and determination of his people, because of the prayer, support, and encouragement of many, a part of the Union community and the people of God around this country and around the world. Even just before I arrived tonight, I was encouraged to share with you that Christian leaders from across the country are praying for you and for Union University tonight. We've heard from Frank Page, Tom Rainer, Franklin Graham, Chuck Colson, leaders who are encouraging their constituencies to continue to pray for Union University as we begin again. As we do so, I invite you to hear the words of the psalmist from Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, we have taken refuge. Let us never be put to shame. Rescue us and deliver us by your righteousness. Turn your ear to us and save us. Be our rock and our refuge, to which we can always go. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our fortress. Our mouths are filled with praise, declaring your splendor all the day long. I invite you to follow along in your worship folder, in your program tonight, as we are led by Provost Carla Sanderson, Ben Dockery, Director of Campus Ministries, Dr. Greg Thornberry, Dean of the School of Christian Studies, Cody and the band, Dr. Jean Fant, who will come at the appropriate time to conclude our service with the benediction tonight. Dr. Sanderson.
Please pray with me. Our God, our loving, powerful, faithful God, the God who rides on storms and calms the wind, descend on us, we pray. Hear our prayer of praise and thanksgiving, God, tonight. No prayer ever uttered from these lips more precious and heartfelt. Our God, we want to begin to thank you for providing a place of refuge in the rubble, a perfect and strong refuge that saved our loved ones from death. We thank you, O Father, for men and women who give their lives to preserving life, those who rescued us, who diagnosed and treated us, who are counseling us, who are your arms around us. God, we thank you this evening for the community of Jackson, for its leaders, its civil servants, its citizenry, who have poured out in great number. We thank you for the larger community of our churches that we now know literally spans your earth. For their love and their prayer for us, we give you our thanks. For the outpouring of support and love from the academic community from elementary students in Jackson all the way to college campuses, 110 of them and counting, for college students like those from Cedarville in Ohio who are loving us tonight, we give you thanks for our academic community, for our colleagues there, for their prayers, their financial support. We are so grateful. Father, for the state, national, international leaders, government leaders, denominational leaders, evangelical leaders, for each of these who has taken upon their leadership role to help this institution, we give you our thanks. Father, for the one who was put in place to lead this institution at this hour, for David Dockery, who has instilled a commitment to your work in each of us and who has rouse the faculty and staff of this institution to serve. We thank you for our president and his entire 400 plus team that has been at work in these days. And so important, God, we thank you for the majesty, power, and grace that has been exhibited in us to a watching world. We thank you for using us to bring attention to our glorious, powerful Father. And Father, once again, back to the beginning, we pray a prayer of profound thanksgiving for your tender mercy, for mercy that we pleaded for around the rubble and in the ER that night. Thank you for the provision of life in every member of the Union University community. Here we come now to worship. God, take pleasure in our time with you tonight, even as we pray, O merciful Father, praise and thanksgiving for our deliverance from danger. Continue thy mercies toward us, that all the world may know that thou art Savior and mighty deliverer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of Christ, we welcome you. We have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Grace and peace be with you. You may be seated. Well, it is wonderful. It is a delight to see you guys in the room tonight. It really is. And I have been given the honor to voice a prayer for you students who we have cried for and prayed for with hundreds and thousands across the nation. So hear this prayer on your behalf, my students. Pray with me. Father, there is no other God to serve but you. You are great and you are good. You have established the earth. By the power of your word, you hold it together by your Son. You comfort us in all of our discomforts. You promise to be with us in our hour of need. Father, you reign over all. And your goodness is realized in the cross. And Father, on the merit of Jesus Christ, we come into your presence this evening through faith. And we want to pray, and we want to bless your name for the protection you have shown to our students. Father, we ask that you'll continue to be gracious and protect us. Father, we ask that according to the riches of your glory, that you might strengthen these students with power through your Spirit. We pray that Christ may dwell in their hearts as they transition back into school, into their studies, into the life of this university. We pray that through faith they may be rooted and grounded in love. And Father, that as they figure out who their new roommates are and their new living situation in the families Father, that grace and that peace will guide them. Father God, we pray that you may strengthen them to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. God, we stop and we also want to rejoice with all those that are here, with all those who are healthy. And Father, we also want to offer up a special prayer for the two students who remain in the hospital and who remain in the doctor's care. So God, we pray tonight. We pray for David Wilson. We pray for Matt Kelly, Father. We pray for the doctors. We pray for their families, that you will give them strength and energy. Father, we pray a prayer of healing over their bodies, that you will continue to be with them. Well, we pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of your will, and we'll be filled with all the fullness of God, to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen.
Will you please stand in honor of the reading of God's holy word as we read together responsively from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, printed in your worship program. I will read the light print, and we will read the bold together. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe. And therefore we speak, because we know that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you into his presence. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me as you stand? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, in this room, at this moment, we acknowledge in accordance with your word that you rule over all nations, that you delight to do what you have promised to do for your people, that you judge all those who oppose your work, that you deliver your people from times of distress and trouble, and that you sustain all those who have faith in your word and keep your covenant. Lord, you have searched us and tried us. 2 weeks ago, at this very hour, to put your holy angels in charge of each precious life represented here tonight. We thank you for your powerful care. And now, O Lord, keep us safe from all sin and evil. Put the enemies of God to flight, Father, the principalities and powers of darkness that war against the sons and daughters of the light. Vanquish them even as we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. With boldness we pray, Father, be strong for Union University and for our president, David Dockery, a righteous and upright man. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversary. Through the might of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Thornberry and Cody. Dr. Thornberry and Cody have planned this service, and we thank them for what they have done for us. We thank God that He has brought you back to the Union University campus. It is so, so very good to see each and every one of you. We thank you. We thank God that He has sustained you, that He has brought you to this place here tonight. It's hard to imagine 14 days ago where we stood. By God's grace, we are here tonight to enjoy one another's fellowship, to reconnect together, and to focus on the God who has sustained us and ask Him to give us a new trust for Him and His providence even tonight. I told Richard Joyner, chair of our music department, I've been sustained in recent days by the hymn book. Not only the hymn book from which the great hymns like "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, great is thy faithfulness," and other wonderful hymns are found, but ancient Israel's hymn book, the early church's hymn book, which we call the Psalms. I've been reading them faithfully. I want to share with you tonight some reflections from one of those Psalms that many of you know very, very well. It is the 84th Psalm. It's found printed on the back of your program so that you can follow along this evening. And I would ask, even though that you just sat down, in honor of God's Word, that you would stand and read with me all verses of this marvelous Psalm. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. For many years to come, people who are associated with Union University will look back upon February the 5th, 2008 as a marker of things to come. Looking back or reflecting on the past is common upon most all cultures and has been the case throughout history. So the psalmist here in Psalm 84 seems to be reflecting on an earlier time, not merely as some kind of nostalgia, but with a genuine longing, he wants to return to the place that he used to meet God. For many of God's people, a particular place has been filled with deep meaning and significance, for it was there that they encountered the one living and true God. For Abraham, it was Bethel. For Moses, it was Mount Sinai. For the psalmist, it was the temple. For some of you, you can remember times, even during this academic year, where perhaps you had such a memorable encounter. Maybe it was while studying in the Ryan Center. Or it could have been while listening to beautiful music in the Hartley Recital Hall. Or perhaps in a campus Bible study in the Waters Commons. But today, two of those places are being repaired. One no longer exists. Perhaps like the psalmist who longed to get back to a time and place where you can meet God again, so that is your desire. But like the psalmist tonight, we recognize that there are obstacles and difficulties that we face. If you look at Psalm 84, you'll recognize that there are three major movements in the psalmist's thought. The first is his longing to know God. And that is our top priority tonight. A renewed longing to know God. Secondly, the psalmist tells us about the process, the journey that takes us to get to that place where we long to know God. And then thirdly comes the promise of renewal and blessing for those who have hope and trust in Him. I want you to think with me as we follow the psalmist's thoughts and reflect upon those three movements tonight. First, longing to know God. It's been said that getting to know God is like falling in love. For some, it's head over heels at first sight with a rush to the altar, similar to the first time that Ben Dockery saw Julie Holzer, September 2006. They would have been married in October, for all we know, but they waited at least until April. But others are more reluctant. And others are more reluctant in their pursuits of God. They find the whole idea of getting to know God wholly to their unliking, only to discover along the way that many of their first impressions were badly mistaken. A begrudging acceptance soon moves toward appreciation, and then almost unknowingly, it slips over the line into a heartfelt embrace. In either case, Malcolm Muggeridge was right in observing that in the end, like the psalmist in Psalm 84, getting to know God is like a homecoming, picking up the threads of life, of responding to a bell that has long been ringing, of taking a place at a table that had long been vacant. But then for some of us, our initial starry-eyed romance with the divine crashes into reality. We give ourselves to God and we struggle profoundly with this new relationship. We're drawn in and then we find ourselves wanting to flee away in fear. For some of us, the events of February the 5th have resulted in much confusion, causing us to struggle deeply with our faith. But faith is not free of complexity. nor is faith free from challenge. For you see, the 84th Psalm is a picture of one who longs for God and the good things of God. The psalmist is probably the same person who wrote Psalm 42, which has similar themes, but he is not writing about some shallow escape from his current challenges. No, that was not an option for him, and it's not an option for us tonight as well. No, what we see is one who genuinely wanted to meet God, who longed to know God, yet the psalmist acknowledged that such an experience is a journey. It's a pilgrimage filled with obstacles and difficulties along the way. But as the psalmist discovered, even while we are going through the valley of Baca, God remains true and good and faithful. So the psalmist turns his attention now to the journey that's involved in this process. Those of us who are part of the Union University community began a new pilgrimage, a long journey, on February the 5th. And today we do not yet know all the obstacles and difficulties we will yet face. But two things we do know. Number one, we must go through our own valley of Baca, which Martin Luther translated as the valley of weeping or the valley of tears. Some of us have shed tears daily for the past 14 days. I personally couldn't get through the president's report to the Board of Trustees this past Saturday, and most of the board members were similarly shedding their own tears. For the next several months, we'll be passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, and we'll help each other and we'll hug each other and we'll hold on to each other as we walk together in this new pilgrimage. The second thing we know is this, that one true and living God is both good and faithful. Just as the psalmist was distant from the temple and could not immediately get back to the place where he longed to meet God, so some of us here tonight struggle with a new kind of displacement. The special place for the psalmist was where he met the living God. But please don't miss this fact. It is the displacement itself that is created for the psalmist, this longing for the living God and the things of God. It just may well be that our current situation may result in a new yearning, a new hunger, a new longing for God like most of us have never experienced before. We'll desire the things of God afresh, and I pray that that will begin for many of us even here tonight. C.S. Lewis in The Problem of Pain says that God often uses the experiences of suffering as a megaphone to awaken us, to shout to us. Suffering and pain, says Lewis, are often the essential means by which God brings about dependence, fortitude, patience, and forgiveness in His children, while also arousing acts of mercy and compassion from those around. Certainly we've seen hundreds, even thousands, of acts of mercy and compassion from people near and far, from people who know Union University well, and from people who hardly know us at all, from people who are on opposite sides of denominational struggles, from people who are on opposite sides of theological divides, all responding with mercy and compassion in this hour of need. And we've seen God's amazing touch even on those outside the circle of faith, outside the sphere of Union University, who have responded with their offer of help. And now we pray that God will do a work in our lives as well, bringing about patience with one another as we begin a new pilgrimage this semester, bringing about forgiveness when we have been wronged, and a desire to forgive others when we have wronged them, bringing about a new fortitude and courage to face the challenges that now are ours. And most of all, we pray for an urgent sense of our complete and total dependence on God for all aspects of our life. The kind of longing for God that is described here in Psalm 84 should also be the kind of longing that characterizes us on this 14th night beyond the tornado. While the psalmist longed for the temple of God, he primarily longed for the God of the temple. And while we might long for a pre-February the 5th Union University, now God wants to build a new future for this institution with the living God at its heart and at its center. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people, but now He has a people who are His temple. And He wants tonight to begin to do a new work among His people on this campus, not only rebuilding the buildings, but refining our own spiritual temples. Three times in this psalm, in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 12, we read that there is the promise of blessing for those whose hearts, whose strength, whose lives are focused on God. Perhaps it is best summarized by the Apostle James in James chapter 4, verse 8, who says this, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." But the reality is this, that the process of following God, like the actual pilgrimage of the Israelites to Jerusalem, can be extremely fatiguing and often very trying. Along the way, like the pilgrims before us, we pass through the Valley of Baca, as it is described here in the 84th Psalm, which can manifest itself in a variety of ways. For some, it may be an illness. For others, it is a time of grief. For some, it's a season of emotional trauma. And for all of us who are here tonight, it involves finding a way to begin again after February the 5th. The pilgrimage for all of us will likely involve navigating our way through the Valley of Tears, like the biblical characters themselves, whether Job or Elijah at Mount Carmel, whether the prophet Jeremiah, or even the Apostle Paul himself as he describes his experiences in the passage from 2 Corinthians that we read earlier together. There are times when our lives are filled with perplexing questions, usually beginning with the question, why? I confess to you tonight that I don't have the answers yet to the questions that have filled my heart and my mind since this time 2 weeks ago, and I may never have the answers to those questions on this side of glory. Why is the question that comes to our lips when life-stopping events like February the 5th come across our path as we cross our own Valley of Baca? Yet even the questions linger. The psalmist says something amazing happens there in that valley. For there, he said, you can dig down through the arid valley floor and find refreshing springs. Here, the impossible can become possible. Affliction can point us toward joy. Ashes can become beauty. Hardships can be turned to rejoicing. Rubble can become renewal, and weakness can be transformed into strength. Certainly, we all face trials and tests, but like the psalmist, we can, by God's grace, become an oasis of hope to others across this campus. If we respond rightly, each and every one of us, to this time of challenge, what St. John the Divine called a dark night of the soul, we too can rediscover a fresh dependence on God all across this campus. Out of the rubble across this campus, I am praying that we will see renewal in the lives of dozens and hundreds of students, staff, faculty, administrators, and trustees. For as the Apostle Paul wrote in that same letter to the Corinthians, he said, we are being renewed and transformed into His likeness with an increasing glory, even as the Apostle Paul was going through the struggles that he described. This is the picture we see in Psalm 84 as well. Those who long to know God and who seek God along this journey will experience renewal with God. For with God, the old is passing away. All things have become new. Now the psalmist has brought us to the place where we are ready to meet God, to celebrate His goodness, to give thanks for His amazing and at times mysterious providence. The encounter with God leads him to sing this: better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Don't you just love that? The comparison of one day to a thousand seems quite appropriate to me in light of the time of the last 2 weeks. It's a very interesting insight, for time is a funny thing. The past 14 days almost seem like 14 weeks for some and 14 months for others. I'm a sports enthusiast and a political junkie, often much to my wife's frustration. I enjoy watching and analyzing major sports events and key political contests, but I can hardly remember anything about the Super Bowl or Super Tuesday, which according to the calendar took place just 2 weeks ago. But I can hardly remember anything about those big events because of what we have experienced over the last 14 days. Time has moved into a different gear altogether. And where we're caught up with God and doing in our lives, we move not only to a different time, we move to a different plane, to an eternal vantage point where we can experience time and life differently. Time seems different. Space seems different when our lives are being renewed in the very presence of the living God. We all need to be aware that things are going to be different for us the rest of this semester. Not only because we have to learn different schedules, some of you never learned them 2 weeks ago, and not just because your classes are meeting some different place, some not even on this campus, and not just because students will have a variety of housing experiences over the next 11 weeks, but because we have to have a new mindset, a new attitude, a new spiritual framework to navigate our way. Like the psalmist, we can allow all of these changes to become instruments of grace, transforming grace in our lives, because we recognize that there is one ultimate longing in life, and only God can satisfy that longing. That's the experience of the author of Psalm 84, and I pray it will be our experience as well. When the haunting and perplexing questions spring up in our hearts throughout the rest of this semester, while we're making our pilgrimage through our own Valley of Baca, God may sometimes seem distant to us. It may be hard to sing the hymns. It may be hard for us to pray. It may be hard for us to read Scripture. When that happens, what do we do? Do we assume that God is not here among us? Or do we assume that somehow He's here, but He no longer loves us or He cares for us? Or do we say, yes, He's here, but this God is unable to help? That is not the response of the 84th Psalm. It points us in a totally different direction. Tonight, I want to invite each and every one of us here in this chapel and across this campus to join the psalmist in his longing for the living God. Let us trust the providence of God anew, even when we have unanswered questions. And let us believe the truth of God's holy word. And ultimately, I invite you to find rest tonight in the great faithfulness of our living God. Let us pray that out of the rubble across this campus will become renewal. Renewal. That we can see, that we can observe, even as together we claim the promise of the final verse of this psalm, which says this, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is everyone who trusts in you. Will you join me tonight as we begin anew this spring semester by placing our hope and our trust in the faithfulness of our great God. Would you join me, please, as we pray together? Oh God, you are a majestic, wonderful, awesome, amazing, loving, faithful, truthful God. You are the God of all seasons and the Lord over all aspects of life's journey. We ask now for your help, even as we embark together on a new season of life, on a new journey. We ask for your blessings and your faithfulness to be so obvious and evident to us and to those around us that we see your hand at work afresh and anew on this campus. Grant to us joy for our work and our study. Give to us mercy in our weeping and our sorrow. We ask for strength and courage in the midst of anxiety, and for patience as we work, study, serve, and learn together. Encourage us to live our days not only in the time it takes us to live them, but with the pace, peace, and patience that comes only from knowing you. Pour out your Spirit afresh upon us, that we might cease worrying about the perplexities around us, even those things that we fail to comprehend. And instead, O God, allow us to rejoice afresh in your great faithfulness. Enable us in soul and body for the living of these days, confident of your divine and providential provision for this university. God, we pray now your blessing, grace, mercy, peace, and enablement upon each student who is here. We ask these things now in the name of the one who revealed his great and perfect faithfulness to us, and the one who died to save us from our sins, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions may fail as thou hast been the forever. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, on thy mercies I will. Come, I mercies I see. All I have needed by the
that this gathering is not actually concluded. We will be reconvening at the Jet with a dessert fellowship. Many of you do not have vehicles, which means, friends, please be liberal and generous with your vehicles. If you need a ride, gather over here at the circle. If you need people to ride with you, loop through. Hear this prayer.
Oh God, we are grateful indeed for your providential gift, a community that transcends circumstance. We acknowledge that what unites us is larger than our university or our country or even our millennium. In times of crisis, we know that this invisible community of faith will break through the chaos to bring hope and help, just as you yourself broke into history to bring grace and reconciliation. We stand together in the gushing stream of the faith that has been proclaimed to all persons in all times, which flows directly from the eternal love of Christ. And we know that Christ works through all events to bring honor to the Father, and we seek to honor him as well. Take away even now the barriers that we have erected in our foolishness, barriers that resist the movement of your Holy Spirit. And our hearts, souls, and minds be glorified. Have mercy on your people and give to us the peace that was purchased with the blood of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, in whose name we pray.
Scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel graceful like rain. From every fingertip, washing away my pain. The stars turn on me.